You've probably heard of The Lancet. It's one of the world's oldest and most respected medical journals. In January of 2003, The Lancet published an article championing the combination of two drugs, ACE inhibitors and RBEs, in treating certain kinds of kidney disease. More than 100,000 patients were prescribed these two drugs in combination. But later, an investigation concluded the data in that study had been collected in a way that made it scientifically unsound. Turned out the combination was actually harmful to patients' kidneys. The Lancet printed a retraction, but at that point, thousands of patients had already received the drugs, and thousands of patients still received the drugs in combination. That's just one case out of several explored in a new series of studies by researchers at the University of Illinois. They found of the drug studies that are retracted every year, almost three quarters are retracted because of scientific misconduct, fake data, plagiarism. Here to speak with us now is the senior author of this study of studies, Simon Picard, and also our friend and bioethicist, Art Kaplan. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Simon. You know, Simon, I have to think that there was a case like this one out of The Lancet that first made you think, I wonder how many other studies have these kind of problems. What made you start to look into this?
Well, you mentioned The Lancet, and there was a landmark study that connected autism with childhood vaccination, and some of you might be familiar with that. In fact, there's still the lingering effects of that in the UK because based on that study, which was just a small report of cases that a doctor, Wakefield, had collected, it turns out that that study was basically, it turned out to be retracted in the end. But in the meantime, thousands of children had become infected with measles, mumps, rubella because parents had stopped giving their children vaccine. And that really caused an alarm bell in my mind, and I thought, I wonder to what extent this is going on with other studies. And then the Wall Street Journal featured the issue of rising retractions in the overall scientific literature. So as a pharmacist
it bothers you.
It bothers me, and I wanted to know to what extent this was going on, specifically in the drug literature. So
well, then,
our group got together on this.
Tell me the extent, then. I mean, here we say nearly three-quarters of those that are retracted. How many does that represent? Out of the studies that are done on drugs, on pharmaceuticals every year, how many of them actually end up being based on bad data of some kind?
Well, the good news is, Celeste, that it's less than 0.1% of the studies that actually get published out there. So it's more an issue of a bad apple can spoil the brew for everyone. And I think that as long as we're vigilant about these studies and making sure that there's a good set of checks and balances, and that's really what was needed and what's come to the attention of the editors of journals more recently, you know, you can't get rid of error. People will always make mistakes, but we can try to minimize those things. And there's also those flawed individuals out there that, because they're, you know, sociopaths or something, or they have some reason why they need to lie or make up, fabricate things in different ways, and that can happen in science too. So we just need checks and balances, and some initiatives have been started recently that are going to try to mitigate that.
Well, let me take this to Art Kaplan. You know, Art, when somebody starts talking about a sociopath producing studies that might affect what I take medically, that gets me a little bit concerned here. I wonder, in terms of a bad apple, although this may represent a very small portion, the example that Simon gave of the vaccinations explains why even one bad study can really have some harmful effects.
Oh, one bad study can have enormous effects. Remember, what Simon is talking about, a fraudulent study of the efficacy of an intervention, say a vaccine or a drug, that can be years before somebody picks up the problem and gets it retracted. It's not simply, you know, overnight that happens. And then the information that this study is flawed has to percolate through the entire healthcare community. So you could have a lot of harm done over a long period of time, people taking a pill that doesn't work or has side effects that are nasty without, you know, any change in behavior for, let's say, years. So this is serious stuff. It's one thing when somebody says fraudulently, you know, I think these bones show an ancestor of humanity that I dug up in Kenya that we never thought about before. It's a different thing when somebody says, you have asthma, take this pill, and it actually causes an exacerbation of the disease. Probably the worst thing that one could do in medicine is to fib, lie, be deceptive on a drug study.
So how does it happen? Aren't we supposed to have all these different layers of checking and double-checking in place to make sure that we're not getting drugs that are going to hurt us?
Well, you know, it starts early. There are courses required now on scientific integrity. In fact, I teach a part of that course. One of the problems becomes, does it work? Does it help? I mean, laying out the rules, keep your lab book, make your data organized, let other people see it. Those are basic skills that scientists are supposed to have. We're supposed to teach them that. I don't know that we do that well. I literally don't know. The peer review process, that's how journals operate, having experts look at papers and assess them. Well, that's got problems, too, because basically it's a volunteer system. The editor sends out papers to different reviewers. Some say they'll look at it. Some say they won't. But how hard do they go through the data? How carefully do they make an assessment of the accuracy of the paper? Meaning, do they look at the numbers? Do they rework the statistics? I think the system is weak in that area. So that's another problem. We have kind of amateurs running the peer review system, and things can leak through that way.
That is Art Kaplan, a friend of the show, obviously, and also a professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. And Simon Picard is senior author of this study, associate professor of pharmacy practice at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Simon, the full results of the study haven't been released yet?
The article's been released in its preliminary form. It will be in the upcoming issue of Pharmacotherapy in July.
Next on project, Simon. You got to expand it out from just drugs, okay?
Well, thanks very much for your time, Celeste.
Have a good one. Simon Picard and Art Kaplan, thanks so much.
Thank you.